feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. And we will get to Ant's dunk, but my God, with 3 minutes and 40 seconds left in tonight's game, the Wolves were winning 81-75. And then they went the rest of the game without scoring a single point and went on to lose 81-86. An 11-0 Raptors run to close the game. That's just hard to do. And if it wasn't already, I mean, this is just now officially out of control with these fourth quarters. I mean, it doesn't matter how injured you are. It doesn't matter how much COVID you've had. It doesn't matter how young your team is. You can't just lose every single fourth quarter lead you get. I mean, you can't. You can't just not execute anything for the final 4 minutes of a game. I mean, you can't do that and take yourself serious enough to think you deserve to be watched. At this point, it's just arrogant to think that this is okay. You can't do it. There is no reason the talk surrounding tonight's game shouldn't have been solely focused on an awesome third quarter comeback capped off by the sickest fucking dunk I've ever seen. It's just an active disservice to everyone involved to close that game that way and to take away from the fun that should be that dunk. I don't get it. I mean, why can't this team do anything right at the end of games? I mean, we are talking about rudimentary stuff. They had the ball with 31 seconds left in the game, and they tried to go for a 2-for-1. That in and of itself doesn't make sense. But then to go for the 2-for-1 and shoot the ball with 22 seconds left on the clock, I mean, that's not how those work. That is literally signing up to lose. 81-75 with 3:40 left in the game and no points for the rest of the game, zero. This is what happened. 81-75 and the Raptors have the ball. Wolves foul Fred VanVleet on the floor, but they're in the bonus, so that's two free throws. 81-77. Wolves go down and run a dribble handoff with Cat and Rubio, and Rubio dribbles it off his foot, turnover. Then Toronto ball, but they help out. They step out of bounds themselves. So Wolves have the ball again. Rubio drives and again falls over. Another turnover. Raptors go down and get a fast break layup. 81-75. Now this isn't even a hindsight is 2020 thing. I mean, you just have to call a timeout there and put in McLaughlin. He's just not only having a better game, he's just pretty clearly the better player than Rubio right now. And I'm not even saying Rubio is complete trash or anything. I'm not saying you can't play Rubio. You obviously have to play Rubio. You don't have another point guard. Rubio should play. What I'm saying is that there's nothing wrong with Rubio closing games on the bench. It's okay to close games with the guys who are playing better. It happens all around the league. It's happened in the last two games the Wolves have played. The Pacers closed that last game with Jeremy Lamb and Aaron Holiday. They don't start, and it wasn't because they're the starters or the closers. They were just having the best games on the Pacers. Miles Turner, one of the Pacers' best players, he sat on the bench and watched those guys close. And they beat the Wolves because Holiday had that layup on Cat and Lamb had that corner three. And the Raptors did the same thing tonight. They closed the game with Terrence Davis and Stanley Johnson. Literally neither of Davis or Johnson even played in the first half of the game. But in the second half, Nurse brought him into the rotation. They were rolling, and Nurse stuck with him. Davis went on to hit the game-winning three and then the game-sealing free throws as time expired. But Saunders did not call a timeout. Rubio stayed in there, and the Wolves went on missing. They went down in the next possession. Ant missed a three. It was his seventh missed three of the game. He was 0-for-7 from three on the night and 3-for-15 overall. The Raptors rebounded it, and they went down and missed a three themselves, which is to say, it's not like the Raptors were exactly tearing up the Nets in the last 4 minutes of the game. They didn't win this game. The Wolves blew it. So they miss. It's still 81-79, and the Wolves get the rebound. They have the ball. They go down, and Beasley takes another contested three that gets blocked by Siakam. It was the second time in the game that Beasley had shot a three that got blocked by Siakam. This leads to a fast break because it's a block at the three-point line. They go down. Siakam dunks it. Tie game, 81-81, minute and 22 seconds left. Wolves ball. They run a pick and pop. Rubio and Cat. It's open. Cat misses the three. And again, the Raptors don't capitalize. Fred VanVleet takes a gross transition three that they miss. Wolves rebound. Timeout. Now it's 81-81. There's 47 seconds left in the game. And this is execution time. The play Saunders draws up is designed for Cat to set a screen for Rubio and then to immediately sprint over to Beasley to set a screen on Beasley's man to free Beasley for an open look. But before Cat gets over there to set the screen, Beasley starts sprinting to come off the screen, and Cat's obviously still moving. Fred VanVleet, Beasley's man, runs into him. That's a moving screen. Foul on Cat, another turnover. That's just execution. You can't do that. And this just isn't that hard. I mean, on the other end, by contrast, after that turnover, that foul, the Raptors run a beautiful inverted pick and roll where Fred VanVleet, he's the screener for Siakam. Siakam comes off the screen as Terrence Davis simultaneously comes off a pin down and he's open for a catch and shoot three. Davis, again, who didn't play in the first half of the game, hits that clean three. Raptors go up 84-81. That's execution. Now the Wolves are down by three. They've officially blown the lead, and there's 31 seconds left in the game. And here comes the worst two-for-one ever. Rubio dribbles the ball over to Beasley for a handoff, and by the time Beasley forces up the three that had no chance of going in because he was rushing it because he was trying to get a two-for-one, there were 22 seconds left on the clock. That's not a two-for-one. The thing is this roster, it is all those things. It has been hurt. It has had the COVID. It is young. This roster is not capable of executing that play. They are not capable of executing. It is not a safe bet that they are going to execute a two-for-one with 31 seconds left on the clock. They're just not. We have 29 previous games that suggest it would have been the longest of long shots that they could execute a decent look there in less than 7 seconds. There's 31 seconds left in the game when they got the ball. Beasley misses that three. The Raptors get the rebound. Wolves foul. Raptors hit both free throws. Game over. 86-81. That's an 11-0 run to end the final 3 minutes and 40 seconds of the game. I asked Saunders about that two-for-one after the game.
Ryan, you guys got the ball with about 31, 32 seconds left there. What did you want to see on that possession? Was that a two-for-one situation?
Yeah, it was. You know, try to get something towards the rim, in that situation. And, with one timeout, and you're trying to get a two-for-one situation, you can foul, and then you're able to advance the ball late in the game. So, it didn't end up in the right look or a look that we wanted.
Specific to this team, I don't think it's very realistic with 31 seconds left on the clock to believe that they were going to be able to get down the court and get to the basket. Saunders said he wanted to get to the basket and take a shot while there's still more than 24 seconds left on the game clock. That is the only way you get a two-for-one there is if you get the shot off and there's more than 24 seconds left on it. Could some teams execute that? Sure. But this just feels like another one of those wishful things. Add it to the list, like relying on Okogie to make open threes when a team's just leaving him open on the perimeter. Or the times when the Wolves spaced the floor for Rubio to drive to the basket. Or the time when Wancha was guarding Siakam. I mean, we can go down the list. There's these things that if the players were capable or were better at them, they might work, but they're not their skill sets. So then they are, by definition, wishful to come through. And as a coach, I just think it's then on you to adjust according to the likelihood of your personnel being able to execute. I mean, let's use some analytics there, right? Like, it's great to believe in your players. And as a player, it feels great to feel believed in. But it becomes bad when you're doing it to a naive degree. Because if that belief proves to be misguided, as it did tonight, by not being able to even get the shot off or the two-for-one, then that believing in that, it becomes poison. It kills you. And it just, I mean, for that to happen, the fourth quarter just feels, it just tastes even worse. Specifically because, related to Saunders, I mean, the third quarter was so good. The third quarter was awesome, and it was capitalized by Ant's dunk to close the third quarter with a six-point lead. That can't be the fourth quarter you have to follow it up. We're going to talk about that third quarter, but first, a quick break. What's up, everybody? We have something to tell you about here at Blue Wire, and that is that we love sports betting. And whether you've been betting for a while or you're thinking about getting started, we want to let you know great resources for sports bettors, and that's the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and experience real financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. And with an Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for an Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes expert projections for every game. You can see money and bet percentages on every game. You can see the teams professional gamblers are betting on. You can take advantage of Pro Systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines. You can track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. So if you're looking to bet smarter, an Action Network Pro subscription is the way to get started. And for a limited time, our listeners can receive 50% off an annual Pro subscription. Just go to actionnetwork.com and receive 50% off an annual subscription when you use the code MORE50, MORE50. This offer won't last, so go to actionnetwork.com to sign up for a Pro subscription and use promo code MORE50 to receive 50% off and start betting smarter today. The third quarter was legitimately great, you know, and not just for the players. Saunders was good too. I mean, the Wolves were down by 16 with 8 minutes and 21 seconds to go in the third. And Saunders reached deep into his bench for Jake Lehman, who didn't play in the first half. And not only that, but I mean, Lehman hadn't played at all in 5 games. And Lehman comes in out of nowhere and was awesome. He checked in, and the Wolves are down by 16, and they end the quarter on a 23-1 run. 23-1. And the last 3 points of those 23 were the 3 most fun points of the season. Jordan McLaughlin comes off a high screen from Naz Reid, skips it to Ant in the corner. Ant drives to the basket and just ends Yuta Watanabe's life. He just destroyed him. Just destroyed him with the dunk. And I hope those of you who are watching, I hope you were watching, because you can't beat a play like that live. It's just one of those moments where you just tackle the person you're watching with, because sports are supposed to be fun. I mean, they have me up in the top of the lower bowl in an entire section by myself in an office chair, and I just about wheeled myself into the concourse. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun play, and I just think it's a bummer, you know. Not that we can't take that play, you know, for what it was and enjoy it, but I think it's just a bummer that a dunk that capped a 23-1 run, you know, it couldn't have been momentum to close off a team in the fourth quarter. It just has to be. I mean, big plays, they're just better when they happen in a win. They count for more. Ant said it after the game. I asked him afterwards if he would have remembered that dunk more fondly had the Wolves gone on, you know, to win the game.
Ant, that dunk is going to be probably a defining moment of your rookie season. For you personally, how much more would have that meant if it happens in a game that you win, when you look back at it and remember it later on?
I'll be talking about it highly right now if we would have won. But due to the fact that we lost, I mean, it's nothing to be excited about. I mean, it was a great dunk, but like I said, we lost, so it don't really mean nothing right now.
That's a bummer of an answer. Maybe a sad question by me too. I teed him up for no Ant fun there. My bad. But can we talk about that dunk? I mean, what I think is so special about that play, what is so encouraging, is that, right, it's not hard to see this becoming part of his repertoire, just in his game. That is Ant's game, force. That's the running back in him, right? Like, hitting the hole like that. I mean, Ant going up and slinging on people could start happening on the regular. It should. I mean, he's tried to put a couple on people earlier this year that he's missed. And I feel like he's the type of person that's seeing something work like this and getting paid for it with the and-one. I feel like that goes a long way. I think getting the whistle there was huge. Because of that, I think he's going to be more inclined to go seek that contact in the future. You know, one thing I've just been thinking about this year is, you know, as we start to map out Edwards' career in our heads, is just player comps, right? And I know I've brought up the LaVine comp for Edwards before, but I'm mostly have just brought that up as I think that's a better comp for him than Wiggins, you know, not just for the athleticism, but for the personality. But as a player, the guy I've been watching a lot and trying to figure out if I see similarities between him and Ant is Bradley Beal. I mean, Beal's obviously a ridiculous shooter. So on the, you know, just using stats, this of course doesn't work. Beal gets a shot off from every level of the floor basically whenever he wants, and he makes them at a high level. I mean, I think we label Beal as a scorer in the sense that he's a shooter. But if you watch Beal, I mean, he goes and gets contact at the rim when he attacks, when he needs it, when the game calls for it, when you got to get to the line. I mean, Beal's inclination is always going to be his jumper. But he does have the force. He does have that strength, like Ant, to really punish teams at the rim by either just finishing or getting to the line. I mean, that's Beal's secret weapon. That's why he's one of the best scorers in the whole league. And it should be Ant's secret weapon too, that getting to the line. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of different high-end comparisons for Ant. But the best ones have to include guys that can really attack and be that hammer at the rim. You know, that obviously that leads to fun highlights like tonight, but it, you know, just in the aggregate, that's going to lead to production. I mean, I'm hoping this dunk for Ant starts to trigger more 8 free throw, 10 free throw nights for him. He needs that because, I mean, as we think about tonight, we're going to remember the dunk, but that free throw he got on the end one, that was Ant's only made free throw of the night. I mean, he shot 3 of 14 from the field, and yeah, he was a team worst minus 13 in 34 minutes. And I don't say that to condemn him or anything. I'm just saying it's not enough to just get a dunk here and there. You know, he needs to keep adding things to his game that are consistently positive, that are consistently consistent. He's got to add to it. And I do think he will. We're obviously seeing more and more over time. Other than that dunk from Ant, though, I mean, it's not hard to find positives, but it feels hard to find positives that are worth dwelling on, just given how it ended. I think the one that I would feel comfortable bringing up is Jaden McDaniels again. He played 31 minutes, and he just continues to be a defensive nuisance. We're just at this point with him where he has found his one consistent thing, and that's just McDaniels is a nuisance defensively. I mean, nothing about his blocks are rare. He does it every game. His length is a weapon every game. And again, I guess my mind is just on comparisons, but as I was watching tonight's game, and, you know, he's obviously playing on the floor at the same time as Pascal Siakam. I mean, I think that's what you think of when you start to think of high-end comparisons for McDaniels. And, you know, I guess part of that's messy because we haven't really seen McDaniels tap into much of anything offensively other than just being a catch-and-shoot three guy, which I think is fine, you know, for him right now, because I guess I see McDaniels as one of those development pieces where it's a add one thing at a time sort of guy. And that's, you know, to the Siakam point, that's what Siakam was. I mean, ironically, you know, McDaniels was the 28th pick this year. Siakam was the 27th pick. And that's because he came in real raw too, where, I mean, at the beginning, Siakam was just an energy guy for the Raptors. They didn't have him doing anything offensively, pure energy. He just used his length and athleticism to be a defensive weapon for the Raptors early on. I mean, it wasn't for multiple years before Siakam started expanding his offensive repertoire. And eventually he really became the rim attacker that he is. And I think that's the hope for Jaden as well. Like, one thing at a time and just grow with it. I am curious to see what that growth in his offensive game looks like, because again, we haven't really seen him do much outside of the threes, right? I mean, he's had a couple of like daddy long leg drives into the lane. But it's going to be really important that the coaching staff hones in on. He's a guy you got to hone in on specific things, I think, one at a time offensively. This is what your offensive identity is going to be. this year, and then we'll add more to it as time goes on. I mean, I think we already right now know that McDaniels is and will forever be a weapon in transition. And at this point, I think we can say pretty cleanly that the defense just feels like a lock. He's already, as a rookie, clearly a helpful defensive piece. And, you know, and I think he's doing that while also, you know, making some mistakes defensively in terms of concept. He's that athletically gifted where when he steps out of place or his guy gets a shoulder on him, like he can still erase that space that he shouldn't have given up in the first place because he's so damn long and athletic. I mean, McDaniels just keeps being the best surprise of the season. And it is something to really, you know, carry from this year. It's like we have these things like, oh, you know, Jordan McLaughlin he's doing nice, and, you know, Jalen Noel or what, Jake Layman played well in the third quarter. Well, it's a lot more important when you're 19-year-old Jaden McDaniels. I guess he's 20 now, but rookie Jaden McDaniels is showing you that he already has real discernible NBA skill sets that are going to last, and he's only going to add to them, and they're all going to get better over time. I don't think it's ridiculous to say that there is a Pascal Siakam ceiling in there for him. That's all I got for tonight. This game is another messy one, but the Wolves will be back at it Sunday in New York against Tibbs, which will be all kinds of interesting. Who would have thought, you know, a few years ago, what would that be? 3 years ago now. Who would have thought 3 years ago that Ryan Saunders and Tom Thibodeau would be coaching against each other at Madison Square Garden? I mean, man, NBA life comes at you fast. I'll be back to break that one down on Sunday night. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Don't talk about the Wolves unless you're talking about Ant's dunk. Till then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. So you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else.